Well, we're back into the book of Revelation. And tonight we're going to be going over and starting into the 8th chapter. We're going to be looking into what is called the trumpet judgments. We went through the areas dealing with the seals, and we're going over to the trumpet judgments. And we're looking right now, tonight it starts off in this chapter, which will begin in the opening of the seven seals, which leads to the trumpet judgments. And so we're going to start over. We'll start in our reading tonight in Revelation, the 8th chapter. We'll start with verse 1. It says, when he opened, this is Jesus, opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in the heavens for about a half an hour. Now, I did go over and look that up in the half, because sometimes in scriptures, and this is one thing, and I just encourage you in doing this, interpret scripture with scripture. Don't, you know, people many times try to interpret scripture in the light of our society and how things run, and do a terrible, terrible job at it. Look at scripture, and I looked in its usage, and the word that is used here in that stuff, and this is used to actually means a half an hour. And because sometimes it don't. Like when we look at the 7 years of tribulation and things from Daniel on through, they talk about it, and they talk about the 7 weeks, and then there's time they'll talk about, you know, sometimes they'll use a terminology in so many months, but then they'll talk about the weeks again. They'll use the term 3.5 weeks, but actually means three, and it's used in symbolically of 3.5 years. So, but you have to read it with scriptures. You can't, you know, some people, you know, they try to interpret it according to how we use it. Look at how the terminology is used in the Bible, and follow that, and especially dealing with Revelation here. So it says, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. It says, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the Lord. It said, and the smoke from the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God and the angel's hand. It says, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thundering, lightning, and an earthquake. So it says, and the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to the sound. Now, as I said, we're leading into this. One of the things that we see, we had read before, in Revelation, the 6th chapter, about the people that were standing before the throne, the ones who were who had died for the name of Jesus. Well, remember, we had read there, they asked the Lord, how long is it going to be? You know, when are you going to bring vengeance on them? And we have here now, we're going to go into the seven trumpets. This is, we have the prayers of the saints, we see, really starts this whole thing off. It's the prayers of the saints. In other words, understand this about the earth. You know, in the earth, God's will is only carried out through men. When Jesus spoke to the disciples, he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose. In other words, the humans in the earth, we the ones, will determine what's going to happen. Now, sure, this makes it very hard for all the people that believe that God's in control, and he's just running it. But we have here, what's the point of the prayers of the saints and throwing it in the earth if God just does this thing? This all becomes useless and worthless. See, in the temple, the incense and the incense altar, that was a representation of the prayers of God's people going up to him. Because the Bible talks about it's a sweet-smelling aroma. The prayers of God's people is a sweet-smelling aroma to him. And so we have here, there's an incense altar in heaven, and God's children who have prayed and asked him their prayers. And it says the prayers of all the saints. So it's not just the saints on heaven, but it's the saints in the earth. They're calling out to God. God's responding to the prayers of the saints. This is what he's doing. Now, when it talks about the censers, if you would go, like, say, and look, say, more traditional, if you'd go over among the, say, like the Catholics, or you'd go into Russian Orthodox and stuff, they would do the things with the censers. They actually would use incense in their things. They would have a censer. It's a little bowl that they put incense in. Theirs would have like three little chains on to it. They hold it. And they would walk and swing that thing, you know, around back and forth. Now, we don't know exactly, because this talks in here as if the censer's in the hand of this bowl is in the hand of the angel. So however it is, but whatever it is, what is asked, the people are asking in prayer, God throws the answer into the earth. That's what the angel's doing. He's throwing them, you know, what's the point of throwing the if it's just the prayers down there and God ain't going to do nothing, and who cares? You know, it's sort of a worthless gesture, but it's not. God's answering the prayers of the saints. The saints have asked him to judge the earth. So when we look at the end times here, people, one of the things that I think is very misleading on teaching on the book of Revelation, they act like God steps in and he just overrides. No, God's responding to his people. It hasn't stopped. God always responds to his people. And so it hasn't stopped. This whole thing, this thing's going on here right now, is leading into all of this. Is the saints really have asked to be avenged by God? That's what they asked. They wanted to be, well, hey, when are you going to avenge us on this thing? And here he says, here we go. They ask, and so God's responding to what they ask. So then we come in Revelation 8, chapter and verse 7. It says this, so these are the angels, there are seven angels, and each angel has what they call the trumpet, and each one of these trumpets is a preparation to whatever it is that goes with it. And the first one we find, verse 7, it says, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Now, I want you to get a picture of something here, because people can believe it however they want, but I've studied a number of these things for a lot of years of looking and comparing scripture, what it says about it. One of the things is dealing, when we go back, is in the book of Daniel. When Daniel saw this image that really was a picture of the empires that were going to rise through the ages. And it started off, there was a golden head, which was the Babylonian Empire that he was in at the time. And it tells them, this is going to, the Babylonian Empire, according to scripture, God said was the greatest empire there ever was. I mean, this, and it's covering of what it did. But then it goes on. But anyhow, the different empires goes down through, which you end up seeing what the empires are. And it went to the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. But it ends up with the Roman Empire. But there's a last empire that that Daniel says in the prophecy comes at the end of the age. It comes at the end of the age. And this is an empire which really is probably the weakest of all empires. See, everybody gets this big idea that the Antichrist comes and he's this big dude that's going to run the show over everybody. And run. I'm sorry, it ain't going to be like that. Because the weakest empire, it said it was made of iron and clay. The Roman Empire was iron. But this last empire is going to be iron and clay. So iron and clay mixed together don't make a real tough thing. And so we need to get that in our minds and things. Read what the Bible says. Quit listening to what people say about it. This last empire, according to scripture, is going to not be, but it's going to be operating. It's going to come out from what is considered was the Roman Empire at that time. In other words, it's going to fall under the guidelines of the area where the Roman Empire ran at the time. It's time. Personally, from what I've found in scripture, I don't think a lot of these things are going to be specifically all over the world happening. I think it's going to be because if we find, and you find out through scripture, when men talked about the world at the time, it was always the known world to them. It was not. They didn't know anything. They're sitting over here. All this thing of Jesus being crucified, there's people, Incas over here living. There's Aztecs over here. These people doing all kinds of stuff. They're not even mentioned. What they called at that time Asia was not the Asia we know today. That was in the areas of Turkey and in that area. That was considered Asia. And they knew nothing about what was going on out in the Asia over there in China and all that. That was all new to them. So when they talked about the things going on in the world, one thing that we're dealing in that time period is what's going to be the Antichrist Empire. This judgment is going to fall out concerning that empire. That's going to be the main thing that's going to be going on. Now, if you don't have to agree with me on it, I cannot find from a scriptural standpoint of how people talk about it going on. I mean, if somebody can show me from the scripture, show me, but don't just tell me some stuff and think, well, this is what I believe. Well, I believe because I can't find it in scripture other than that His empire is going to be mainly the area where all of this is going to go on. Now, the earth's got, you can't have that stuff going on the earth with great effect on other areas of the earth. It's going to. It's going to have great effect. It's just like today, the way things are tied together within nations. You know, one nation's economy goes under and everybody else just domino effect falls. Things like that happen. But I truly do believe it's a lot dealing with the Antichrist empire. Because he's going to call himself God, and it just always cracks me up. And you know, they say he's going to be able to control the whole world. I don't think that's going to happen. That he's going to be able to control the whole earth. You know, these people say, "Well, he'll do it through electronics and all that kind of stuff." Well, according to all this stuff going on, we're going to read electronics ain't going to be working so good. He's going to have better than that. You better have better than your phone. You're not going to rule the world, the earth with the iPhone. I tell you, I don't care what they say. So I want you to get a picture as we read this, because when we sit down and look at this, is this all the grass and all the earth has burned up? Is it happened? Well, you know, I just want you to think about it. If that's true, the devastation, this alone, you know, all the fields, areas, crops and stuff, a third of it, all that stuff. Because when the Bible refers to the areas of grass, it's not just talking, it's just about like we have, my yard got burned up. I think that's a blessing. I don't want to mow that sucker. We get a drought and people say, yeah, my yard's dying. Praise God. Things are looking up. But anyhow, so when it says a third of the trees, but this is what is interesting about it. Now we have, from a scriptural standpoint, you know, we can look at things about, remember this, John's talking about what happens, this thing that John says that he sees, he said he sees fire, he saw hail and fire, he said that was mingled with blood, and it was thrown to the earth. Now we need to understand, this is John looking at it from the heavenly perspective of what seems to be, because we're going to find this out. There's things that John says, it in the earth, it isn't exactly that way. What there's the manifestation that comes from whatever happens in the spirit realm. So this is where people need to be very careful about what we say, this is going to be this or this is going to be that. What it tells us that happens on the earth, that's what we can judge by. But in the spirit realm, what causes it may be another thing. So people get over, and I don't want to get in all that interpretation stuff because it just too misleading. And so, but we want to see, I'm going to read from you because we have with Moses and Exodus and what happened there, but we're going to find that this isn't all the same because there's some things are really different here. Now, because people use this and say, well, see, this is like Egypt and when hail and all that stuff, but we want to read it because we find out this is a different, from different standpoint. It says, in Exodus, the 9th chapter, verse 22, I'm going to start read. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So we do see that there's hail. There's also, it says fire came down. So you can see a similarity with this thing. But he said, so there was hail and fire mingled with hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both men and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Now we see that, but one of the things I want you to look at this as we read on this verse in verse 7 was, this took place, but we have this, and it's not talked, we find it says hail and fire and things. It said the third of the trees were burned up. It isn't like whatever this did, it didn't do it exactly like it did with Moses. And the green grass, it says the green grass was burned up. It wasn't destroyed because of the hail. See, everything was destroyed because of the hail. This doesn't say that. So what comes down, we see more from the fire standpoint of anything going, whatever caused it in the natural, what took place from the spirit realm, what actually caused this to happen, the outcome is this, is a third of the trees ended up being burned up, and all the grass gets burned up. So we know that. That takes place. Actually, when we're dealing with the areas of hail, I've been around in hailstorms, and they can really tear stuff up. They can really major hailstorm. I mean, we were out in Oklahoma, and we lived out there. They had hailstorms. I saw chunks of ice this big come out of the sky. Huge. All jagged chunks. Everybody sees nice little round ones. Now, they get these big jagged ones. You don't want to be outside when they hit you. They're big chunks. We had some big chunks. I just remember standing in our apartment at the sliding glass door, sitting there looking out, and these awful big, huge chunks of ice coming out of the sky. Enormous. And let's say out there, so you can buy hail damaged cars, new ones all the time. You can get a good discount of a car with lots of dimples. loads of dimples. So you go buy them cheap and cost you a lot of money if you want to fix it, if you want to get that. But anyhow, so there is some difference in this thing. And in fact, we look at the outcome from either way when we look at it, if it's the similarities or something similar, there's some not, is looking at the outcome. So is one of the things, I'm not going to speculate on these different things happen. As all we know is from a disastrous standpoint, this is bad because you get a third of the trees are burned up, and you have have all the grass. So one of the things that I personally, and this is with me personally, too many people try to tie things over to the natural done. There's one thing about it. Today, one of the reasons that many people don't pay any attention to the judgments going on in the land, because people always tie everything from the natural as well. They have their scientific idea, well, this happened because God ain't even involved. They don't even know. They wouldn't know if God was judging or not. We're going to find out as these goes on, people do know that God is doing. They know that God's involved in this thing. And so I believe some of these are going to have, you know, they're going to be from a supernatural, not like normally happen. They're not going to be the normal things that they can just say to the public, oh, this happened because of this. You know, the people won't be buying it. So this is why we need to look at this, because if you can, you know, all these guys, they write these books and they have all these, this is a natural, this or that and the other thing. Well, if it is, well, no wonder people don't pay no attention to what's going on. Well, people today don't, but they will then. They'll come along and pay. They'll realize, hey, this is God. This is not a good thing. Now, in Revelation, the 8th chapter, we're going to go back over there. Also, we did show in Exodus, God knew how to take care of His people. He knew how to look after His people in those times. But in Revelation, the 8th chapter, we're going to go back over down to verse 8 to the second event that takes place. It says, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So we see something, he says it's something like a mountain that he saw. Now, I know people say, well, it was a big meteor, it could have been an asteroid, it could have been. Well, it could be something like that, we don't know, but it falls in the ocean. One of the things is, if you study in the history of any events, and they go back into history of things of like on the earth, we never find anything where anything like that hit and turned the water into blood. We don't have any events that thing like that took place. Now, this is one of the things of the size. One of the reasons that if it would be something like that happens, say like something like that hits the earth, we need to know this, that anything that is hugely large will affect the whole world dramatically. It'll probably do a whole lot more than a third of the... If we look back, one of the things that we know that's in this earth, in the past history of this earth, before our civilizations were ever on this thing, there were events that took place in this earth of destruction. And the idea of a hugely large, whether it's an asteroid or... I doubt very much with generally a regular meteor, besides, anything hugely large will cause such devastation worldwide. It'll affect everything. It won't be a matter. When you have an object, he said it was the size of a mountain on fire, hit. If anything hits in that size, you don't realize how much that will displace. If it would come in from space and hit the earth at speed it's going to come and hit, if you got a 500-pound meteor hit and went into the water, you would be if it could hit the earth without burning up in the atmosphere and 500 pounds would hit the water, you'd be shocked to see how much water it would displace when it hit. You get anything enormous like that, I'll tell you what, it could displace a volume of water the size of the United States. There would be such, people talk about these waves that they get from earthquakes. I mean, you wouldn't imagine. I mean, you would probably be having waves hitting the land miles high. Literally, miles high. Maybe 2 or 3 miles high, maybe more. And so when we talk about the devastation here, whatever is going on seems to be centralized in things. One of the things that I think when they talk about the sea, one thing they were familiar with and used all the time was the Mediterranean Sea, is what they use. Because what they talk about happened to sheep, sure, it would affect the ships and stuff, but I'll tell you what, anything major happened, it would, that shocks, and I'm going to tell you what, the coastal areas would be gone. They would be gone. Well, it doesn't say that here, so I'm not going to add it to it. So whatever's going on and we see what happens, he sees what happens. And we find out, it says this, and so a third of the ships are destroyed. So this is not such an asteroid. If it is some kind of an asteroid or meteor or something hit, it's not as this big, enormous whole world effect thing. Because if it was, most of the countries over there would no longer exist. The Antichrist kingdom would be gone. Wouldn't even exist. It'd be wiped out. It would no longer even be there. just debris in the air. If you think about back in the 1800s, Krakatoa, out in the Pacific, had a volcano. And that volcano exploded. It was at that time was the largest explosion in the earth that ever was recorded. And people don't realize, I forget how much... It blew into the atmosphere of dirt and all this kind of stuff. It was horrendous, the amount. It blew literally square miles of dirt up the atmosphere. We had here in the United States, like even down into Virginia during that time period, where they had frost in July because all the dirt in the atmosphere that went on during that time period, the sun would be blocked. Because of all the dirt in the atmosphere. Mount St. Helens went off. It went and blew something like 5 or 6 square miles of earth. Square miles, not square feet. We're talking about square miles of dirt it blew up in here. And so this is one of the things you'd have the same kind of effect if you had a great meteor hit and smack into the ground. The repercussions of that would be phenomenal. Probably the earthquakes would cause would just destroy so much stuff. These things that are starting off here are more, I believe, more like warning things that are happening. It's like, hey guys, wake up. This is like, the alarm clock went off and they reached over and hit it. Stayed in bed. We hit the snooze. We're going back. And this is sort of like what these things are. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm just, looking at what they're talking about, the damage and stuff that takes place. So, it is more of a confined thing of what is going on and happening. If you went into the area right now, say just the Mediterranean Sea, all the shipping that runs around in through there. Loads of shipping and stuff goes in and out through these areas. Tons and tons of ships. They're running all the time on those nations, stuff hauling stuff all the time. So a third of the ships are gone. That's quite a devastating thing. It says a third of the living creatures in the sea die, and so a third of the creatures die, and the ocean becomes blood. So whatever causes that, it said it becomes blood. Now they say, well, maybe it's red. I don't know. It says it's blood. I'm just, this is one of the things I don't think we should just try to figure out a natural thing that could happen. Because if God can't turn it into blood, then he ain't near who he said he was. See, if it has to, everything has to come back to the natural. And that's why I say, well, I want to leave God open to the supernatural, that this is, these events, like this thing here happening, but water turning to blood would sure be a thing that does not seem natural to any of them of what's taking place. So we have here that this thing happened, this thing here of the fish dying, that stuff. It said in Exodus 7:17 said, thus saith the Lord, he said, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters that are in the rivers with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. So God turned the rivers to blood. We have an actual manifestation of God doing that. And that's why I don't believe you throw everything over into the natural. And it's just our natural inclination as humans try to figure things out. Instead of just believe it the way it says it, hey, we'll see what it is, find out. Because over the years, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, when they started into this thing, probably about more like 20, they started into this thing where we started having these bacteria and that stuff that would eat flesh, you know, and people get it, and we're still having things that they're finding stuff like that. I'll never forget when the first time they started that thing off. And all of these prophetic, and I just call them pathetic people, they started saying this, oh, that's what the Bible's talking about, it's going to happen, that their eyes are going to, you know, type in their sockets and all this kind of stuff and that stuff. Well, if you look over, and which we'll eventually go read about Armageddon, what happens there. And they said, oh, that's that, they're going to get that bacteria that's going to eat them. Well, now that's the dumbest thing in the world, because that bacteria just doesn't eat up overnight. You know, people live for months and months on end. So in other words, it's like, but people are always trying to find a natural answer to a spiritual thing. Don't do that. Don't just, the next thing, oh, this is, because, you know, as soon as we started getting all the electrons, now they know how the Antichrist is going to run everything. Now they know. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you got this kind of stuff going on, you're going to have a hard time. I don't care what you got in your electronics to really keep on. It's going to be difficult. Oh, hallelujah. Like God needs man's electronics to fix a thing. I don't know. I just don't care for that. Now, the third one comes up is this. It's in Revelation, the 8th chapter. We're going to find out the third trumpet that sounds. And in the 8th chapter, verse 10 says this, the third angel sounded, and a star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Woodworm. A third of the waters became Woodworm. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Now, a lot of people say this again, they use the thing, that idea of an asteroid or something like this. I just want to say this to you because it said a star fell. This is why you want to always interpret, like say scripture, like the book of Revelation, interpret it what Revelation says. Now, this is one of the things you need to be careful, because we're going to find this out. The word star and a star fell, we're going to find out it says again, we're going to find out it's an angel. The term, sometimes in scripture and prophecy, stars are angels. See, and you can't, Jesus is called the morning star. But the angel, in fact, we're going to read later in the 9th chapter where it says another thing, where a star fell, and then it says he. The star is a he. So it's not a star out of heaven. I don't think from this standpoint, I think we're seeing something happen in the realm of spirit and in the earth. Because of it happens, we see a certain things take place. Certain things happen. We find when this star comes down, I've heard people say, well, you know, this is probably, a cometer meteor hits the earth. How can it only then affect the water in the rivers and in the springs? It would affect, if a comet came down and hit and landed on the land, it would destroy so much stuff. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't just make it. So this is why we need to be careful interpretation. I choose not to. You know, I think we're seeing something, just like this angel came down and did something. What, you know, he did something to the waters, this angel did something to the waters and that stuff that caused men to die. Now the water turns bad. Now this is a very interesting thing, because going on and looking at this, though, this idea, the excuse me, the word woodworm, in the areas of the Greek, it's really an uncertain, and it's where it came from. You know, people try to get so dogmatic about what things mean. But it really, woodworm, they do it as a type of bitterness or calamity, it means. You know, and I think they derived that meaning from it because of the outcome, not because they knew exactly what it meant. But this is a very interesting, now listen to this, don't go over and think this is what is going to happen. We don't know. In the Russian translation of the Bible, the word for woodworm is Chernobyl. I found that really interesting. It's Chernobyl. And everybody knows what Chernobyl, you know, the, so it is. Now, let me say this, that doesn't mean there's going to be a nuclear something or other that's going to cause, it could. Now see, I've heard people, they use this, well, of Chernobyl, see then that thing already took place, this trumpet and all that stuff. Hold it. This hadn't affected all the, you know, if we take the amount of people that died from drinking water, there is insignificant compared to what we're reading about, talking here. But whether or not it is, I mean, it could be something happened. There could be something happened in that stuff. Even something, you know, from outer space, and something would happen here into the earth because dealing with area with radiation. You know, it's one of the things that they, like, we don't have as much trouble. We don't have much trouble. Our atmosphere and our gravity is around with our earth is what keeps a lot of the radiation off the earth. Now, when they go up the space station, they go up there and stay for long periods of time. They go up there. People go up and stay for a year in the space station, but they're not that high up. You get out beyond where they are, you don't go stay there for a year, you're going to die. We don't have the ability. This is one of the biggest faults. They'll tell you all this thing about space travel and stuff. It's all lies. You know, men get ideas, and people think that the idea is true because they talk about, oh, we want to do this. We don't have the ability to keep radiation off of people, getting them into deep space. We don't have any ability. Right now, we have nothing that can stop it. In fact, they've even admitted, I was reading an article from a guy who is NASA's big boy on this kind of stuff, and he said, right now, he said, if we send people to Mars, he said, by the time most of them get there, he said, they will either die of radiation sickness or they will have cancer till they get there. But he said, they will probably, those people will never return to nothing. Do you know what their plans are to do to get to Mars? Oh, don't they show you these cute little huts they're going to live in and all this connecting stuff? No. They're looking right now because they want to find lava tunnels that are underground so they can get deep enough underground to get away from radiation. That's what they're looking for. So when they get to Mars, you know how exciting it's going to be? They're going to be living underground. This is exciting. They're telling us we're going to go to Mars because the Earth's going to get so bad, you've got to go to Mars to live. So you can go to a cave underground. Oh my. So this is why, you know, the people reading this stuff, I just like, you know, I don't want to go play their games or whatever's happening here. But whatever this woodworm thing is here, the word Chernobyl, they talk about what the word Chernobyl means, and they said it there's a terminology that they use in Ukrainian is milkwort, which is a type of herbous plant that is used interchangeably with the word cancer. So whether or not that's something that's going to come on, it's going to cause all these problems and things and stuff with whatever it is. A literal translation of the word, which is taken, it's made of two different words, and it comes down to a thing that's called called black grass or stalks. So, really trying to identify exactly, nobody knows exactly. But people like to speculate upon it. But we found this out, and we know this, that a third of the waters become woodworm, whichever that is, and many men die from the water because it's bitter. So the water, in other words, drinking water is going to be a major problem. A lot of people, a third of the men, and the areas where this takes place at, so it's going to be another very devastating thing that's going to take place. So do you see how all of these different things that happen? We have the likeness with Egypt and the pouring out of the plagues on Egypt, that each one of these affect a specific thing. See, like in Egypt, we didn't have, you know, like one thing just destroyed all this, everything. Each thing was designated to bring a certain judgment on certain things. That's the way they did it. So here we have the same type of thing. So really, God doesn't change how he does things. He doesn't change what he does. Because as we go on and look at these things further, we're going to find out about we'll end up talking about the two witnesses, the ones that can bring plagues on the earth and do all kind of things at the time, these ones that can do all kind of stuff. So God has not changed in how he does. He's still working through people. If God was just doing all this stuff without human beings involved, then why does he need the two witnesses? What does he need, you know? This is one of the things is get clear and stuff. This is why I don't like the speculation that people use in this. Is because it leaves you guys in the position you have to become some kind of scholars to really understand this stuff. I'm sorry, this book is made for everybody to understand. I think one of the worst things that can happen to you is you have a scientific mind and read this book, because I think you're better off, you know, because I don't want to put speculation on it. If God reveals something good, and if he doesn't, well, hey, just one thing as I read this is, I don't want to be here. I don't want to go through this, okay? I don't want this happening to me. So, but I did find out the thing was really interested in the Russian interpretation of the Russian Bible. It was called Chernobyl. I really thought that was really interesting, that was the word that was used. I don't know if somebody who ever interpreted it and did the interpretation, they already had a belief about it certainly. I don't know what. But I thought that was really interesting that it is. Well, in the 8th chapter, verse 12, of Revelation, we're back over looking again at we're going to look at the fourth angel. It says, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound. So we see on this thing of darkness and stuff and things coming on this thing. In the prophet Amos wrote about and said, Amos in 8:9 said, and it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. And so we find here that there's going to be things that are going to be taking place at that time period and that stuff. Now this is not something Isaiah wrote in Isaiah the 13th chapter. Isaiah 13 chapter verses 10 through 13, he said, for the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the gold wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in that day of his fierce anger. Not a good sign. So we see here some things that were said about that time coming up as what's going to happen, the things that are going to be happening in the earth. It's not going to be a good thing. It is an amazing thing. See, one of the things that we're dealing with right now is people don't realize we have this thing, and they talk about they started with global warming and so that didn't prove out, because actually in probably the past 10 years the Earth's temperature hasn't changed, so they're having a hard now. It's called climate change. Well, we need to understand there are certain things that are happening in the Earth that are causing problems, and it has nothing to do, it affects the weather, but it has nothing to do with men on the Earth. We live, God's in the creation of this earth. This earth is for its inhabitants on this earth is a unique thing. Hugely unique. That's why you ain't going to Mars and living like you live here. Ain't ever happening. This earth sits on an axis, and the way it turns and operates is so has been so precision, and so it's absolutely phenomenal how it does. I mean, I heard ministers say this, and I said, well, you know, back in the beginning God created the earth. Oh, the earth, when a day was much longer. The day can't be longer. If the day was longer, the earth turns slower. I'm just going to tell you what happens. If our earth starts turning slower, we're all going to burn up. You're all going to die. The speed that the earth turned needs to turn at what it is. It keeps us from dying. the heat will build up on the earth. You could, if you took our earth and you just had it just stop one day and just stop for 24 hours at one spot, you wouldn't believe the devastation that would take place. People are so small-minded. This science, say people talk and say crazy stuff. It don't make a bit of sense, because this whole thing is designed. Now, one of the things that started to happen here was, in fact, they measured. Remember the big earthquake some years ago in Indonesia? Actually, shifted the Earth's axis. Our axis is minutely off, but it's off. You know, and since that time, our gravity has changed on the Earth. See, they keep updating. Like, you know, we drive, they have these satellites around. We have GPS and all that kind of stuff on Earth. People don't realize, but they keep updating it and changing it because our GPSs keep going off and off and off because the Earth's gravity is shifting. The North, our North Pole, which is called Magnetic North, is shifting at the highest rate of speed that has ever done it. It would shift sometime, like maybe in a decade, it would move, you know, a few inches or a few feet. It has moved now miles toward, and it's turning more toward the Soviet Union. So that shows, that changes the gravity of operation here on the Earth. That changes things. The shifting slightly of our axis on the Earth, every little time it seems, well, they had then Japan had their earthquake. Japan had its earthquake there. There was another slight shift. And see, it keeps changing, and you cannot change the Earth's axis even slightly without changing what goes on climate-wise and everything here on the face of the Earth. Has nothing to do with people out here. It has nothing to do from that statement, other than man's sin. God told Israel, he said, if you sin, the land will vomit you out. That's what this is all about. Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8 chapter, he said the earth is shaking. Looking what? For the redemption of the Son of Man. The earth itself wants this thing over. So, we're living in this time period of these things that are going on. Everything's moving toward this thing. Things are getting all whacked out. The earth is shaking, like the scripture says. The earth is trying to remove the sin off of it. The earth, it is designed in this manner. So we see these things going on. People try to come up with all of their scientific explanations and that kind of stuff. Things just are not turning out well at all. In fact, I was reading, now this is about back about 10 years ago. There's planes flying, I forget from where they were, up in the northern European area, flying down to Florida, and they were coming along and found out their GPSs were messed up. They were like 30, 40 miles away from the airport where they were supposed to be. I often thought it was really funny because, you know, they, you could look up, find out about it. Yeah, it was a true thing. It actually happened. But, boy, they don't talk about the news media. Uh-uh. No, the military, God, they're hiding everything. We don't want anybody to know all this stuff's going on. They don't know. They don't want you to know this is happening. Get over it. It's happening. So, you know, things are getting whacked out, and they're not going to change. In reading in the book of Acts, in the Acts, in the second chapter, in the day of Pentecost, the prophecy, we talked before about this, but the prophecy that was given by Peter spoke of the outpouring of Spirit in the last days. The last days started on the day of Pentecost. The church age began, this is the last days. It's the last 2 days on the earth, 1,000 years with the Lord. It's the last 2 days as a 1,000 years is a day. So the last 2 days, it started. And then he told what the last was going to look like at the end of this thing. And he wrote in Acts, the second chapter, was said by Peter. He quoted the scriptures in the Old Testament. He said, I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, or smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great an awesome day of the Lord. So we see this is before the day of the day of the Lord is when he comes back to establish his kingdom. And this is what's going to happen. And what are we reading in the book of Revelation? This is riding into that period. Jesus is getting ready to come back. These things are happening. We're looking at the last 3.5 years of the book, of the last 3 years of what is called the Great Tribulation, and that falls into the last 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years, that 7 year period, people are going to be thinking the Antichrist is really a smart dude. Till he finally shows who he really is, and then he starts killing everybody and everything, you know. We got these judgment coming, and he ain't no good either. So, things are really going down quickly. So how all this stuff will turn out, I don't know. And, you know, just like in the earth, I am sure. I mean, when we talk about things, there's earthquakes and stuff that according to the scriptures in this time period are going to be phenomenal earthquakes. Earthquakes like have never taken place before on the face of the earth are going to take place. We have it told that all the islands are going to disappear. And the reason from the standpoint talking about that, you get major earthquakes and that. I mean, the tsunamis will be so huge. I mean, they'll just wash. I mean, this is why it's like you get in thinking you didn't have tsunamis, it'll be miles high and anything like that. And if you had the coast of the United States would get hit by a couple mile high tsunami, you would be shocked how far inland it would destroy everything. In fact, majority of the population in the United States would die. Majority of our populations live the coast. You go in a couple hundred miles in the United States. I remember, like in our area here where we live, the reason there's so many trucking companies and they build stuff here, do you know why? Because you can reach 40% of the population in 8 hours. That's why they build here. They put a guy in a truck and drive him 8 hours and down, he can come 8 hours back. 40% of the population you take care of. So you turn around and you get a couple miles high tsunami, Pennsylvania will have water. You'll kill most of the population of the United States. The majority of the population will die. Because you get out on the West Coast, see how many people live the coastal areas there. That's where they live. Everybody in those areas down here. You go down along in Texas and down along in those places, down along the Gulf. You hit the United States. I mean, Florida would have a wave go from one side to the other. See, people don't realize is what we're talking about, devastation. It's beyond imaginable. Beyond imaginable, this is coming on this earth. It's hard to even figure these things and stuff going on. So all these things are going to be happening, taking place. Now we go to the ninth chapter, and in the ninth chapter, we have the ninth chapter, verse 1 says, it says, then a fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. It's, now listen, this is where it says, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. You see this? There was a star came, and to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. So this star is not a gaseous ball up there burning. It's actually an angel is what it is. It says, and he opens the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. So he's seeing what's happening. Now understand this. This is a pit. This pit is not a physical place. This is a spiritual place. This is a place. The bottomless pit, that's hell. That's the holding place of all demonic powers and everything right now are held under the earth in a place we call hell. And anybody who dies without Christ, that's a holding place. That's not final judgment. Final judgment's lake of fire. This is a holding place that they go to. So when you read this, and we're going to read out of here, this is not physical things of what this stuff looks like. These are demonic beings, what they look like in the realm of the spirit. This is not physically what they're going to look like. These are spirits that are going to be left loose on the earth, not physical beings left loose on the earth. So, again here we say, you know, about this on here. Again, we have a reference again in Revelation 20 and 20, chapter 20 and verse 1 says, then he said, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great cavern. Here we say, see, it's an angel coming down to the bottomless pit. Here again, we have this star, but it says, to him was given. So this is an angel. That's why you can interpret scripture with scripture. You can't. Don't do like people do. They try to, you know, use their mind and what this means and that means and, I mean, you think about the earth. If a physical, our sun is a star, and it's not a huge one compared to other stars. If it fell out of the sky, there ain't no more earth. It ain't happening. There ain't an earth left. It don't even have to hit the earth. It comes close to the earth. The earth will be a burned up cinder, and there'll be a little piece of dust flowing around out here. And, you know, it's like, you know, people get these ideas about stuff. I don't... Say a star fell. Oh my God, are you in trouble? Now, you know, when they talked about the stars and this stuff, none of the people that said, they never realized what it was. They didn't know it. Like, we know things today about this. It's like, whoa. They saw, like when I was a kid, You know, my parents, you know, my mom was very uneducated. And she was on, oh, that's star fall. No, they're meteors. And no, they're star, they're fallen stars. Yeah, mom, they're fallen stars. We all go into heaven quickly. Everybody's either heaven or hell today. Because that's the end of it all. They called them that. That's because people not understanding what was going on. And so here we have stars. There's times that are talking here, and this is why you have to compare it with what's actually said. Sometimes it is speaking, because before when it talks about the sun and the moon and the stars, it is talking about the physical planets and things and stuff. So you can relate it that. You have to measure it to what it's written. You have to do that in our own language. You know, you could take words and it can mean numbers of different things, and you have to compare it to whatever is being spoken of at the time. So we have here, it says, now listen to this, in verse 3 it says, then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. Now he said scorpion. Now remember, he's looking in the spirit. It's the opening of the bottomless pit. These are demons coming out of there. There's not real locusts down there. He's telling you what these demons look like. In other words, what they represent of what they're doing. These are spirit beings. They're not semen. They come upon the earth. So he said, given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Says they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth. So they're not regular like a scorpion, because any kind of locust. Because locusts, what would they go? They would be eating plants if they're natural locusts. They aren't natural locusts. These are demons. Now these demons, in other words, they're limited in what they're allowed to do. They're under the control. God's released them. They're allowed to do certain things, but they ain't allowed to do certain things. In other words, they're limited on what they're allowed to do. You see, the devil's limited. Now, one of the things God gave the Christians power to limit the devil in what he could do. Christians don't use it. They just let him go ahead and do whatever. The limit. But also, God will limit Satan on things where he can't go past certain points. He said they couldn't harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. In other words, the ones who are not God's people, whoever's not, hasn't accepted Christ as Messiah, most likely this is the people who have taken the mark of the beast. Now, so they don't have God's seal on them. Now, so this is limited, affected who it affects, just like with the if we look back over at Egypt. In Egypt, when Moses did the first signs that God gave, the Egyptian sorcerers did exactly what he did. So now we come to this one. Here we're having something happen which is outside of that limit. So here, this is falling on specific people. So we have, just like with Egypt, the over in Goshen, they weren't having any trouble. But, and this is in the same way, God's people are protected from this. In other words, these demonic powers. Now it says about these ones, They were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Now, mostly when scorpions, they bite, they don't kill you. But scorpion bites are hugely painful for a long time. So that's what these demons are going to be able to torment people during that time period. They're going to be up for 5 months. They're going to have these demons are going to have the ability to do this to the men on the earth. I personally do not believe these people are going to see a thing running around this locust, because when you turn around and tells us what it looks like, it don't look nothing like it. Because it goes on and says it torment them. It said in those days men, listen to this, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. In other words, people won't be able to die. They're going to, can you imagine how bad it's going to be? I mean, people today, you know, they say one of the things going bad and want to die, they're not be able to die. This torment's coming, and it says for 5 months this is going to go on the face of the earth of all those who don't accept Christ as Messiah. For 5 months. I mean, look what's happened beforehand. Now you got this for 5 months. 5 months this is going on in the earth. Does it sound like any wonderful thing that you'd want to happen? So We're definitely looking at bees. Now listen to what it goes on to say, verse 7. It says, the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. The shape was like a horse prepared. Don't sound like a locust I've ever seen. Okay, it says, and on their head was crowned something like gold, and their face were like the face of men. They had their hair like the woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stingers in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. Now, I want you to see that. That's why I said, I totally believe, you're seeing what these demonic beings look like. You're seeing what they look like in the spirit realm. I doubt very much that people are going to see. You don't have to see. You don't have to see the devil to see what's going on or how he's able to torment, what he's able to do. In other words, there's demons going to be set loose in them. Men are going to suffer terrible through these things that are going. They're going on in the earth. It goes on to say, and they have a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew it's Abaddon, but in the Greek he is called Apollyon. It says, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these. Now, if you look at these in the Strong's Concordance, Abaddon, it means a destroy. It just says destroying angel is what it's called. They translate it as. And again, with the Apollyon is the same thing, is listed as a destroyer. Also, they look at it as being Satan. In other words, he's the one who is over these. In other words, this is what he's going to be doing in the earth at that time. In other words, God's going to allow Satan to do things to his own people, and he's going to gladly do it. See, there's one thing, as I've learned, you've heard me people talk about, I've talked about this. There's one thing about Satan, you serve him, and I know from things that I'm looking, people who get into the occult areas and stuff like that, the devil always kills the people who follow him. Always does. Always does. You'll find very seldom people who are involved in the cult, who get deeply into stuff, live long lives. They don't. They have one show on TV I watched a few times, just because this woman really intrigued me. She's always this over. She sees things, and I believe she does. Sees things into the to the realm. Because I was listening to her, I thought, she knows things about the spirit realm that probably most Christians don't even understand. But she knows things, and I'm thinking, you know, this lady, she's messing around into things with demonic powers. And I thought, I heard her in this one show. She admitted it. She said, most people that do what I do don't live to be old. She admitted. See, the devil will kill you. You serve him, he'll kill you. He'll kill you. You serve him, you don't play in his ball field. He's a thief, Jesus said. He comes but for, or only for, the purpose of killing, stealing, and destroying. Now, some people, they say, you know, they'll follow Jesus. Well, I don't follow after demons. Oh, yes, you do. The devil's your daddy. If Jesus ain't, God the Father ain't your daddy. Jesus said to all his friends, your father's the devil. You do what he does. Before I got born again, my daddy was the devil. We changed that one. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll stop there and we'll pick up with the sixth angel. We'll do that in the last time. But as we read through these things, I just find it good not to speculate, because if you do in there, after a while you get disappointed because time passes, and then you find out what you thought it was. It turns out there's something else, and somebody comes up and says, now it's this. This is what it's going to be. And we don't have to know exactly what all this stuff. We just don't know the events are going to take place and are going to happen in the earth. And there's one thing, as I have learned over the years about prophecy and even following Old Testament prophecy. Even in Israel, in the Old Testament, if you read and follow the prophecy of the Old Testament, most of the time, even the prophets, necessarily didn't recognize the prophecy till the time of fulfillment came. Then they saw, oh, this is the fulfillment of that. Because there can be events that maybe you might think want to look like it, but may not be. May not be at all. So, there's things coming on the horizon, and we'll go into these things about these events taking place. There's one thing, as I know, the earth is not going to be a pleasant place to be. There's going to be calamity after calamity when these things hard happen. Because when you take all these trumpet judgment, the vial judgment, the different ones, and you compact them into a 3.5-year period, my God, this is a devastating 3.5 years on the earth. And then you got two prophets that can call judgments down at their own will on the earth whenever they want to. Now that going on, it's like, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. Then the Battle of Armageddon comes, Jesus Christ returns, and it don't get prettier at first. It's worse. So, I just encourage you as we read these things and you go on in these things, you know, ask God to give you wisdom. If there's things you want to understand, there's things you think you need to know or understand about it, ask the Lord to show you. Talk to Him. Because it's one thing, as I believe this, I've watched from the time that I got born again, and I saw all the things that people said and did and the stuff that was going. When I first came in the kingdom, there's so much that isn't even in the ballpark today of what they were talking about with the turn of Jesus Christ and Book of Revelation. I mean, it's totally, totally different. That's why as people put their ideas on it and they preach their ideas rather than just what the Scripture said. You know, you got the Holy Ghost too. You know, you know how to read. And you can ask the Holy Ghost about things. And there's some things number one, I don't delve into specific study into certain things unless the Holy Ghost is leading into them, because some things are too easy to speculate on. Too many things are, you can get your own ideas. Some things have been taught so much a certain way, you have a hard time looking at it clearly. See, a lot of teachers don't get that. A lot of teachers go on repeating what other people have said. Well, I've learned this over time. There's been so much taught in so many ways that sometimes I stay clear of things till I can get a fresh look at it. Till I can, you know, where you don't look at it, because we get tainted in the way we think.
Yeah, we do.
And so and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way it is. I mean, it's keeping yourself clear. And I just learned over time to stay away from things till God starts talking about it. I don't really teach a lot. I've studied a lot of things about from the prophecies toward the end times. I studied a lot of things about it. I don't do as much teaching on some of the areas. I don't do it because unless God tells me to, because I find it's people get in too much of extremes and stuff and these things. And we're going to understand a lot these last days here. We're going to understand. There's one thing, as I just say, stay close to Jesus and you're fine. You'll just be doing great. That's the whole thing. Just, you know, that's the mainstay. You're not going to go to heaven because you know the most about these end time prophets. You ain't getting to heaven because of that. You ain't going to get blessed because you just know all this stuff. That isn't how you do it. There's a life of faith to be able to be lived, and there's people who have lived wonderful faith lives and know little about this stuff. So, hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you do show us. Thank you, Lord God, because this book, Lord God, Revelation, that you gave John and John has written for the church, you gave it to us to read, Lord God. You wanted us to understand and know things about it. And Father, I want to thank you for showing us and teaching us, Lord God, to not be our own interpreters of the word. Hallelujah. Allow you, the wonderful Holy Spirit, to teach and guide us and lead us into the truth. And Lord God, I want to thank you because you're not putting fear on us. You're not making us afraid. And we see in here, you know how to take care of your people and look after your people. And even in dire times, Lord God, you're still their God. So I want to thank you for that, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, as we continue to look into these things, you'll reveal things to us, show things to us, Lord God, that you want us to understand and comprehend about you and about your working. And so we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.